to see you. Let's just pray as we start, shall we? Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you that we can meet here in freedom. We thank you for your word. We just pray that you would guide us as we look at it, as we look to be a fruitful people wherever we are. Please guide us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we started that fruitfulness series. Fruitfulness on the front line. And the front line being that place where we as Christians bump into those who aren't. Wherever that might be. It might be at work. Probably is for a lot of you, but it might be, I don't know, with the grandkids or anywhere else that we chance upon people. So whether we're looking after the kids full-time, whether we're in full-time work, or whether we're looking after elderly parents, God has placed us where we are and wants us to be fruitful for him. Now, that likely doesn't mean that we should be buttonholing a colleague at work, pinning them down, and ramrodding the gospel down their throat. I used to work with somebody like that. It was embarrassing. Seriously embarrassing. He did more harm than good. And we mustn't try to engineer situations so that we can force God into conversations. You know, telling people about Jesus is great. But clearly that kind of approach will label us, will not be surprised, as maybe a God botherer or a Bible basher. We're called to be wise. And more often than not, the way that we live the Christian life has the greatest impression on folk. In other words, modelling a godly character. And that's the theme of what we're looking at today, the theme of the session. Modelling godly character. And that was certainly what was most impressive about the person that led me to Christ. It wasn't what he said, it was how he lived. And I could tell that Colin was different. Different in the best sense of the word. Because he exhibited fruit and fruitfulness for God. And there was something compellingly attractive about who he was. And then I asked, and he told me why he was different in the best sense of that word. Because fruit in a person's life is very attractive. Didn't you just warm to George? When I first started watching, I thought, oh, it's American. I apologise if you're American. But didn't you just warm to George's smile? His passion? His friendliness? It was contagious, wasn't it? He wasn't ramming stuff down people's throats. He was just George. Being who he was. In a natural and humble way. And he talked about how he ran his business as an expression of his faith. How did he say it? He wanted joy to be a signature of all he does. George was God's man in God's place, being the person God wanted him to be. God's man in God's place, being the person God wanted him to be. And that's about it. Fruitfulness on the front line, that is about it. It's not rocket surgery, is it? And Paul talks about it in the Galatians passage that we had read for us. And the great temptation for the Galatians was to go back to religiosity. To forget that Jesus is in fact all we need and all they needed. It's his work, the work that he has done, which is all we need in life. That we've been set free completely. Free from the law. You know, there's no mercy in the law, is there? There's no second chances in the law. You either keep it or break it, end of, black and white. And none of us can keep it, no matter how hard we try. But Jesus frees us from that condemnation. And we're trapped as well in sin. Sin's so attractive, that's the problem. If it wasn't, wouldn't it be so much easier? And so we need to steer a path in life between the two, between the law and between sin. And we do that, Paul says, by living by the Spirit. Walking God's path by the Spirit. Exhibiting that fruit. What is it? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, generosity, gentleness and self-control. You know, we're used to trotting those out, aren't we? Like a Sunday school exercise. But these are the result of living in the Spirit. As we live for Jesus, as we ask him to live in us, we bear fruit. Christine used a great illustration. She had a plant. And on the plant were a bunch of tomatoes. That plant was designed to bear tomatoes. That was its function. It's our function to bear fruit. That love, joy, peace kind of fruit that the Spirit produces in us as we turn our lives over to Jesus. So much of people's experience of the world is dog eat dog. The pressure of work. I was talking to somebody in the previous service. The pressure of just surviving sometimes is the greatest pressure of all, isn't it? Work becoming almost a battleground. Because if I don't look after number one, nobody else is going to. And then what we do is we exhibit a very different kind of fruit. A fruit which is destructive to ourselves and to others. But the model that Jesus gives us, and Paul here in Galatians, is totally different. We've seen it in the video as well. Modeling the fruit of the Spirit where we are on the front line. And when we're transformed by the Holy Spirit, he transforms our attitudes and how we behave. But first, we need God's transforming power. Otherwise, we won't have a chance of being fruitful. So I'm going to ask you a question. Have you turned your lives over to Jesus? Because he is the one that makes us fruitful. And fruit needs nurturing, doesn't it? How do you allow the Holy Spirit to develop fruit in your life? You know, when you're cut up by a car on those magic roundabouts and you're tempted to wave at somebody wholly inappropriately. When that really rude barman almost throws a pint at you when you've ordered it. Or those teenage kids, you know, won't do the chores properly so that they won't be asked to do them again. What are we to do? Live by the Spirit, says Paul. transformed, and then making a conscious effort to go God's ways. It takes time. It takes determination. And more often than not, we get it wrong, don't we? So how might it look on your front line, where you are, on that interface between your Christianity, your faith, and ordinary folk that you come across? What I don't want to do this morning is make people feel guilty or bad, or that it's not for me, or I'm not super spiritual enough. I can't do it. How might it look at your annual appraisal? Or that person who just totally irritates you and they don't have to do anything? Or those situations where you think, how did that happen? That just blew up in my face and it went from 0 to 60 and I don't even know what I've done. How do we respond? Well, a lot of these instances, if we just begin to view them differently, view them as chances to allow God's Spirit to shine through, for those 9 characteristics, those 9 fruits to just begin to blossom a bit in our lives. And yes, it might just be a small little thing, but it's for the sake of the kingdom. God beginning to work in us and people beginning to see God's life in us. That fruit showing. You know, is it just a matter of gritting our teeth, trying harder? You know, forced fruit's tasteless, isn't it? We've all had those strawberries at Christmas that taste of nothing. Spiritual fruit can't be forced either through gritted teeth, because it's not real fruit. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, Rob talked about the vine and the branches, didn't he? About abiding in Jesus, walking closely with him. It's about turning these everyday situations over to Jesus. And so our fruitfulness is surely related to our personal walk with God, isn't it? So where are you with that? Do we pray about the day ahead? Do I? You're in a rush of things. It's so easy just to jump out of bed, throw something down our throats, get out the house. Do we shoot up maybe an arrow prayer when needed before an important decision? Do we pray that God's Holy Spirit will help us when we face life and meet others? That he'll help us to be loving to people we work with, to shine forth joy, as George talked about in the video clip. Or when hard stuff comes, that we'll have Christ's peace reigning in our hearts. That we'll be given patience with the impatient. That we'll be kind, generous, faithful, and all those others. We won't always get it right. We're not going to suddenly show all that fruit at once. But just turn it over. Turn it over to God. So praying and reading the word, letting the word of God dwell in us. Do we read it? Do we place it of primary importance in our lives? And as we start to exhibit fruit, as we do some of them, we make a little bit of difference where we are on our front lines, as we begin to model that godly character. It does make a difference. Remember George? That guy you were just attracted to because he radiated something of that godly character. That's fruit. Fruit that has an impact. And as we pray for our front lines, God can use us in similar ways to George. We just need to be willing. Willing to be used by God. Willing to walk with him. So are we? Are we willing? Are we truly willing? Amen.